Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters here with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Today's episode is part of our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes. We're partnering with the Fisher House Foundation to highlight our brothers and sisters in care who are courageously sharing their caregiving journeys for both the seen and unseen scars of military life and war. Now, let's jump right in to today's hero confession.
I'm every woman.
Here we go.
Chacal.
I'm every woman.
I can't say. Every woman.
Oh, look, the snaps came in.
Oh, they did.
I'm every woman.
I'm not. And you know what? This is not
the time for that.
Well, it's always the time for singing. But actually, I'm singing I'm Every Woman because of our guest today.
Yes. This is, well, I'm not going to tell who it is yet.
No, don't tell.
What? This is part of our Heroes Caring for Heroes series.
Oh, I am so excited about this. I look forward to this every year.
I do as well. This year's series is sponsored by CVS Health and Tenebrands. They're one of the world's, well, it is actually the world's
leading
one. Yeah.
Leading incontinence
brand. Exactly right. And we are so thankful for them because they're allowing us to put this series on.
I know. Well, and sometimes I peel myself.
Don't say it, but it is true.
It's true.
We're going to,
menopause is hard.
I thought, we're moving on.
This show is not about menopause and our guest is not in her headlines.
Yes.
It is hard.
You know what? That she's the perfect guest.
She is the perfect guest.
Okay.
She gets it.
She does. She gets it all. So I'm going to
talk about
her.
Quinn is amazing. She is every woman. I love her.
She is.
Okay. You know, and USA Today approved it. So did the state of Georgia.
They did. She was number one. That's not even an intro.
Oh, that's too bad because we're going to talk about that.
I know.
Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, I'm ready. So today we have Dr. Quinn Yalloway Salazar, also known as Dr. Q, with us. She is the founder and CEO of In Their Honor, among many things. She's an Army veteran. She's an end-of-life doula educator, and she's a storyteller. I've been talking to her already, and she is definitely a storyteller. She has devoted more than 20 years to elevating the quality of life of military and veteran communities. But last August, Quinn's life took a sharp turn, and things got really personal for her when her husband, Jose, a retired combat veteran and law enforcement officer, had a major medical emergency. That changed everything. Quinn found herself in a new role, one that she had long supported for others, but wasn't a role that she was used to. It was a caregiver. This is something I love, and then we're going to let Quinn tell a story. Why does Quinn share her personal story? She says, I know others like me are wearing that same mask, feeling the weight of caregiving and the loneliness that often comes with it.
Yeah, we all wear these masks.
So she is here today to share her story and her insights and her passion for making sure that caregivers.
Quinn.
Yeah.
Quinn's my best friend.
Oh my God. Quinn, she's everybody's best friend. Thank you so much for being on here with us and listening to our banner.
JJ and Natalie, y'all are up. I'm already in tears. I don't know if I want to keep my glasses on, keep them off, because the tears are going to come. Happy, joyful tears, in between tears. But thank you both for having me here today.
Yay. We're so happy. So, you know, the other thing is the way that I met Quinn is that, Jay, she is USA Today's representative for the state of Georgia, although I think she is all the states.
Mm-hmm.
Woman of the Year. Because of the impactful work that she has done. And I mean, you guys, you definitely got to see the show notes because her list of accomplishments, she is definitely someone who is about changing the world. And I always want to be around people like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, she's going to change your view on caregiving today, too. She's going
to
affirm my caregivers.
Get ready to go to church.
You are going to go to church today, so get ready. She may sing a hymn. I don't know, Quinn, so get ready.
I bet Quinn's a singer.
Yeah.
So, Quinn, let me ask you a question.
Sure, let's do it.
Number one, are you a singer?
Absolutely not.
So let's start from the beginning. I always like to say, let's start from the beginning, and then we'll skip to the good part. So tell us a little bit about your background. And then, of course, how you and Jose met, et cetera, and then kind of walk us up to that time where you get the call. I mean, there's a lot in between. So you were born, but then skip some stuff.
Yeah. So it all started when I was born and raised in Queens, New York. So I am a New Yorker by way of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And my life took, you know, to get all of those years in synchronicity, so to speak. My life took a sharp turn in 2001, 9/11 to be exact. Mm. I was a college student. I had just got out of basic training. My duffel bag was literally sitting in the corner of my room as I watched the Twin Towers go down. And I was 18, maybe 19 at the time, a baby, and had no idea that my life would take such a turn. And it did, right? I thought that I would be able to do my military enlistment time and, you know, travel the world, as the recruiters told me, not travel to war zones, but travel the world, and have my education paid for. I was a junior in college and I was called up to active duty. No, I did not deploy, but I was called up to, I was mobilized to Fort Bragg, which is, I think, Fort Liberty now. I think they changed the name. And I did my time in service there. I served two missions at Fort Bragg, where for part of the time I served in finance because that's my military occupational specialty. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, as your MOS spec that. But then I took a test and I had a special identifier for postal work. And so I got the chance to run the mailroom. And in running the mailroom, that changed the course of my life. Because what happened was I was a lone soldier of one in that building because of federal regulations. But I had soldiers that would come in to pick up their mail. And these were soldiers that were either getting ready to deploy to the Middle East or soldiers that were coming back from the Middle East. And in these moments, whether they were enlisted soldiers or they were officers, I had the unique opportunity to engage with them and them engage with me. And many of them shared their stories of what they were afraid of, what they were concerned about prior to leaving. And for those that were coming back home, some of them sharing what their experiences were like in combat.
Mm. That put chills on me. I got to tell you that because I think that's just one example, Gwen, of you never know, no matter where you are, how you're going to help people. Like, you don't know. It doesn't matter where you're placed. That put chills on me.
Yeah.
That she got all those stories.
And I was like a 20, 21-year-old kid. Like, I was a kid. I didn't know anything, right? All I knew was, okay, people are coming and they're sharing their deepest and darkest thoughts and worries and fears, and I'm just holding it.
Mm.
I got off of active duty and I decided to go back to school, right? So my bachelor's degree is in criminal justice. My master's degree is in counseling. Mm. I realized at that point that I wanted to make a difference. I realized that at 21, 22, there were service members that were coming home different than when they left.
Mm.
And so it started me on this long journey decades later. Sometimes I say to people, I can still smell the Similac behind my own ear because it seems time has went where. But it started my journey in caring for service members, veterans, their families, caregivers, and survivors. And that has been the breadth of my work for over the last two decades. I met my husband in about 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I was supporting military families, mm-hmm. and we worked in the same building. And we were friends first, and our relationship shifted. And here we are almost close to 20, almost.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know what? I want to back up for a sec, though.
Yeah.
There's something when you were like, I've been caring for service members. You were caring at 21, 22. But did you care at all when you were younger? If you look back, I feel like you have a family who probably has some caring in it.
My mom, like that lady, she's just a carer through and through. And like, so tired when I was like in the sixth grade, and she would make me volunteer and do stuff with her all the time.
Yeah.
So the Clown Club just seemed to fit. Yeah. Right. So I really got my feet wet and my hands dirty with caring for aging people and just sitting and being present for people at a pivotal point in my life. And so that service continued on in me putting the uniform on. And it has kind of like, it's been that thread all through my life. Truly, it has. And when people say, well, Quinn, what else would you do? I don't know. Like, I don't know what else I would do because this works.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Jay, because if your parents were a little bit older when they had you and you worked with seniors, and it's not surprising to me in the work that you do in hospice care then, because you, the mystique and the fear of death wasn't something that was given to you. It was something that you weren't, you didn't know to be afraid. Like, so many people don't want to see our aging population because it forces you to take a look at your mentality. And so with you as a young person, we grew up with our grandparents a lot because of our parents were young and they worked. And so I grew up around a ton of older people. I love me some aging people. They have all the knowledge.
I know.
And so I'm not surprised by that. I'm going to take our first break. I know we're just a touch early, but that's okay because I want to get into the call.
I do.
Okay. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we're back here with Quinn. So we've gone. We bounced around a little bit.
Oh, this is great.
We are at this point where
we've served.
We have.
We were born. We've served. We've listened.
Yes.
We got married.
Played. We got married. We've done all that.
So then what happened?
We get a call. And this caught me. You got a call. It was the moment, but you got the call from your husband.
Wait, how many kids do we have at this point?
Oh, wait, yeah.
So in total, we have six, right? I have three adult bonus daughters.
That's bonus kids.
We actually have four adult daughters. And we have two that are still babyish.
In the nest.
Is that six girls?
Six girls.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. That's
we love
party.
Them already.
Absolutely. We got new sisters.
I bet even the dogs are girls. Do you all have dogs?
We have one dog. He's a male. And we have two cats.
At least Jose's got somebody. Jose's got somebody.
He's got somebody.
The dogs were girls in our house. Even our dad was just, it was just that we gave completely outnumbered. Yeah. Anyway, so you've got some Brady Bunch, and we're having some fun. They're all girls. And so Jose is definitely holding his own.
Yeah. And you've got a career, booming career.
And so then you get this call. And from Jose.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get this call, and the call goes a little something like, don't freak out. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Don't freak out. I'm on my way home, but I need you to take me to the hospital. Now, coming from a man that does not get sick, coming from the man that we all look at as Superman,
mm-hmm.
that was the scariest thing I have ever heard him say. He won't take sick days, none of the above. And so I knew something was really wrong. And I've shared, like, it's his story to share, but in essence, I get him to the hospital. My husband's also a first responder, so he retired from the military as a military police officer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
28 years. And he went into law enforcement again after retiring
from
the military.
It makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Like, he just took one uniform off and traded it for another.
It's a new outfit. I mean, women change outfits all the time.
That part. So I'm grateful that the hospital we took him to know him.
Yeah.
Because he's a friend. And so they immediately triaged him. In short, one of the nerves in his brain had a stroke, impacted his vision, his mobility, caused a palsy. And here's the thing. I send my husband off every day, hoping and praying he makes it home safe because of the world we live in. Mm-hmm. Never once have I thought I'm going to send my... That particular day, I wasn't thinking I'm going to send my husband off to work today and our lives are going to change in a way that I couldn't imagine. And it did. We stayed in the PCU for a few days because the thought initially was he had a brain injury. How did this happen with him not realizing that something happened? So it went from a full-on stroke to, did you hit your head? Was it a concussion? Like, what? How did all of this happen, to come down to find out that this single nerve in his brain went haywire?
Well, and how old was he? Because he was a pup, wasn't he?
He 56.
Yeah. So he's still young.
Young.
I mean, you're thinking, and are they thinking at that point, because do they know at that point that he was a former service member that had had combat experience?
No one asked that question. And here's the thing. In the midst of being his wife, the hat of Dr. Quinn, the hat of this is what I do for a living, it wasn't even there.
Right.
Right. It wasn't there, because my thoughts were, is my husband going to be okay? My kids, our girls are scared out of their mind. What does the way forward look like?
Yeah.
My husband has very illustrated tattoo art on his arms that include combat boots and flags. And he's got IVs and connected to all types of equipment. And no one said to him, are you a veteran?
Let me ask you, Quinn, why is that important for civilians like us and people who work in the medical profession, or people who work in a helping profession where you're going to come in contact with another person? Why is that lived experience, especially as military, we'll just carve out military, why is it important to ask?
Yeah, there's so many reasons why that's important to ask, but just to think of a top few, asking the question, and I want to be very clear in the way that this question is asked. Asking the question, have you served, right? Mm-hmm. It allows for that provider wherever you are in the provider spectrum, mm-hmm. to be able to say, okay, how can I show up for this veteran or this service member or this military spouse, fill in the blank, in a way that's culturally appropriate to their need, to their care. The nights that my husband was in that hospital, when he fell asleep, I stayed awake because I knew that throughout the night, they were going to come in and bombard their way in. For someone who has been in combat, for someone who has experienced trauma, those sudden noises, those sudden jolts can be jarring to them. Which ultimately, and I'm grateful that this wasn't our case, but so many days after leaving the hospital, I sat and thought about that can exasperate what that veteran, what that caregiver is going to experience when they leave out of that medical system and go back home. It's almost as if I understand that we are trying to care for that person while they're in the hospital, but you're reactivating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reactivating traumas, you're reactivating just episodes or images that they've had in service, not all of them, but it's important to know. So it's important to know, have they served? Because then there are certain illnesses, there's certain, you know, he may have had a traumatic brain injury that
exactly
serving, right? That you need to know about, right? So there's so many things there when you think about asking that question, taking my husband out of that hospital bed and putting a woman veteran in that hospital bed, or putting not even a woman veteran. You think about sexual trauma. There's so many things to think about. Yeah. So many reasons why it's important to say, have you served? Mm-hmm. We know many of our service members and our veterans who went into combat, they've experienced burn pits. They've experienced a multitude of environments that can impact their health upon return. Asking that single question can afford you opportunities to ask other questions to narrow down what may be going on with that veteran or that caregiver or that spouse at that present. So I cannot stress enough, ask the question. Here's the other piece. When you talk about that lived experience, I challenge providers, put your clipboard down for a minute.
Oh yeah.
When you're going into that room and you're seeing this person, connect with that person for a moment in a human shared experience. That's medicine. That is a form of medicine to say, I see you. There's no reason why that every single doctor, nurse, care provider that came into that room did not see my husband's tattoos.
Yeah.
They're huge.
So we have gotten, I know absolutely that there's so much more that all of us can do even to recognize those type of traumas.
We should talk about Quinn.
I know that's what we're going to get back to because we're going to go into Quinn. So at the time that this happens, when I read through everything that was going on with you, even on that day, you had a lot of stuff going on professionally. Like you had some amazing projects and just releases that were about to happen. I want you to tell me about you during that time. Your girls are busy, of course, but you have got this career and you also simultaneously are doing all this care. Tell me where your state of mind is, because you've said to me, you know, people are wearing a mask, and a lot of caregivers that are listening to us out there, they're wearing this mask of, you know, playing both these roles. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So to back it up to career for a minute, in 2021, I launched In Their Honor.
Yeah.
And I remember right before launching it, I went to my husband, and my husband's like my cheerleader. And I said to him, so I think I want to quit my full-time job.
Yes.
Absolutely. Passion project, because I'm going to change the world.
Absolutely, sister.
And I remember my husband looking at me. Now, mind you, this is, of course, in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
He's looking at me like, you cannot be serious. Like, what are you talking about? But what was happening at the same time was my mentor was dying from stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And she was a Marine. And we would connect. And I remember her challenging me to move the needle forward on end-of-life care for veterans. I was already in the suicide prevention space. Mm-hmm. And I had this question, how does one's military experiences show back up at the end of life? And what were we doing as a society? Not healthcare systems, not institutions, as a society, what were we doing to say, thank you for your service in an actionable way? And so my husband agreed and said, if you are serious about this passion project, I support you to build it. So I reached out to a good friend of mine by the name of Dr. Tina Atherall, and Tina's the CEO of PsychArmor.
Yep.
And Tina kind of knows everything that's going on in DC, everything related to our military connected communities. And I said, Tina, what are we doing? What are we doing in the end of life space? And I was angry because we had just lost my mentor and I was grieving. I was hurt. I was sad. I was feeling all these things. And I ranted to Tina, and she has the most calming voice ever. And after I finished ranting, she said to me, what are you going to do? And I'm that person that's like, did she challenge me? I think she challenged me.
Bring it.
Exactly. I need to do something. And so we partnered together and we create a collection of courses called Caring for Veterans Through the End of Life. And those courses are specifically designed. One is for communities, compassionate communities. The second one is designed for healthcare providers. And the third was designed for caregivers and loved ones. The launch of that collection literally happened when I was in the hospital. And I am grateful for my community and my tribe that pushed it out, because I was not in the headspace to do so. I was also, and I'm going to be transparent and vulnerable, and I feel the prickles behind my eyes. I was also being tested to back up what I preach in terms of we need to be support for one another. I, at the time, with my husband being home, because we did not know if he was going to be able to go back to law enforcement, everything was just unknown. His mobility was affected, so we had to hold his hand wherever he went. He had to wear a patch for a few months because his eye, when he would look out in his work, it was like looking into a kaleidoscope.
Mm.
You can't go back to law enforcement like that. Right. Like, so on top of that, his identity was woven all throughout. Right. Like, now what am I going to do? Right. And I hear these stories all the time from veterans who are taking their uniform off, whether it's because of medical issues, retirements, transitions from the military. And here I am facing it with my husband. Right. You can call me an expert in many realms, but for this moment, I was his wife.
That's right.
Right? I was his wife. And I am so grateful that even though I put that mask on, even though I put that cape on, even though I thought I had all my SHIT together and I was ready for battle, there were people that were standing right behind me saying, she's going to need us. Because she's going to need us.
Mm.
That's what happened for me, right? As much as I talk about caregiving and how isolating and lonely and how depression and how even suicidal ideations come into the the forefront for our caregivers, I wasn't seeing myself through that same lens. I felt as though I was just doing the things that I needed to do to keep my family together, to keep my girls focused on school. School had just started. To keep everyone where they needed to be. Caring for everyone, but the one that I wasn't caring for was myself.
I'm going to put us on a pause right there.
Oh, yeah.
Because the tune that is played over and over and over again, what you just said. But I want to take a break, and we're going to come right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Aunt and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right, we are back here with Quinn, and she just said
she played the tune.
She did. She said she was caring for everybody else but herself.
I remember there was a day where my husband and I were out, and he just was standing there, and he's like, I can't see, right? Like, but so his thing was, you're not holding my hand. I can't see, Quinn, right? But it was like, I was so consumed with all the things, right? And I have aging parents. All the things that particular day, I was off. I was off. And I remember my girlfriend saying to me, and this was like one of the first times that I said, maybe I'm not okay. And she said, I'm making an executive decision. Pizza's for dinner tonight. And I said, okay. Mm. And it was, I think, ingrained in military culture. I think ingrained in our society. We don't like to burden people. We don't like to ask for help. So I wasn't going to ask for help. But my girlfriend flipped this whole experience on its head by saying, I can't change your situation, but I can make sure that your favorite food, you and your family have it for tonight. Mm. And it became almost a ritual, right? Like Fridays were pizza night, and I would just, my doorbell would ring and there would be pizza pies on the doorstep. So I never had to say, and I'm using that as just one singular example, I need help. Yeah. Right? And I'll be a little bit more, I'll share even more about my reluctancy. Quite honestly, I was his wife. And I did not accept the term caregiver for a very, very long time. Uh-huh. even though to a certain degree my caregiving duties were over, there are certain things for the rest of my husband's life that I have to watch for because he is prone to stroke.
Yep.
It took having a conversation with you, Natalie, and you read me my, you read me. I'm going to say it again. She read me because I was not connecting my own lived experience and saying, this is my lived experience out loud. The moment that I did that, the moment that I allowed myself to show up in that way allowed me to talk to other caregivers and say, I see you because I've been you. And I will be you, I'm sure, again. It's my why. Was it a sucky experience to have to go through to solidify my why? Yes. But when I think of the 14.3 million military-connected caregivers, I have to broach this topic not just as Dr. Quinn, .. I have to broach this topic from the standpoint of I've been a caregiver or a veteran too.
And that speaks volumes, friend.
And I think what's important too, and when we think about caregivers, not just caregivers that are caring in the military connected space, don't lessen your caregiving experience.
Yeah, please.
Right? And I think for a moment I did, right? I'm like, my husband wasn't severely injured in theater, right? Or my caregiving experience didn't come from my husband's service-connected injuries, mm-hmm. right? But when we put ourselves in all of these buckets, we're not allowing ourselves to connect, right? Yeah. We're not allowing ourselves to say, but this is my experience, right? I needed to get fussed at that day. You were put into my space to fuss at me that day because it has allowed me to show up for caregivers in a different way that I wasn't before. It allows me to identify in a way that I wasn't before. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to be able to say, I know what that journey feels like. I know how lonely that journey is. My experiences aren't just from focus groups or what the literature tells me or what research says. Some of my experience comes from walking alongside of my husband, being there and having to figure out, okay, maybe my dreams are deferred, right? Maybe I'm going to have to put everything on hold because the likelihood of me being the breadwinner at this point is high.
Yep.
So you have the world, and I'm using that really broad, saying she's on top of the world. She just came out with this collection. This is happening. That's happening. But in my home, it was chaos. The unknown. And it was lonely. Because what social media allows us to do is illustrate the story that we want the world to see. And not what's really happening in our lives.
Yeah.
And so I challenge your listeners, don't feel the need to have to hide your truth. Don't feel the need to not lean in when your folks want to support you. I also challenge your listeners who may not be caregivers but are thinking how they can support caregivers. Don't ask the question, just call me if you need something. So outside of the work that I do, I try to give back in my community where I live.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
Yes.
You add that hour to your day.
What's really cool is some of the people in my community have no idea what I do. And I am so okay with that because it allows me to show up for humanity. And there's a caregiver that lives about 20 minutes or so away from me. And her husband was dying at the time. And I would show up on Fridays. I know you need toilet tissue. I know you need paper towel. I know the things you like to snack on. Guess what? I can't fix the fact that you're losing your husband.
Yeah.
But I can make sure I bring these things and just sit and be present with you.
Yeah.
We have got to come together as a community and as a nation. Once again, not speaking from the standpoint of just veterans, but pause before you open your garage door opener to drive on in. Know who's in your community. Know who's there. How can you serve your community members? We've got to get out of this individualized culture where we just see our four walls and see outside of that and say, how can I do something for someone else that may be in need? Because I can guarantee you there is someone, whether they're across, to the side, behind you, that's in need of something.
Oh, yeah. It's neighbor helping neighbor.
It is really.
Society has got to get back to that neighbor helping neighbor.
You know, we do love that, Jay.
I do.
I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I know we're getting close on our time. And so we have to do sister questions. But I really liked how you said when, you know, about Facebook and social media and what people see of us, we got to be okay being vulnerable. And showing ourselves, and when life is hard, because when we give permission to show that, we make it normal and we allow for people to be vulnerable and not feel like they're going to be rejected, because that's really what the root cause is. No one wants to be rejected, or you've got your cape on and everybody, you've got all this greatness going on around your life and you don't want, and this was me, I don't want to show everybody that I'm failing at home. I want to be a success because that's what I think I want to be. I want to, you know, and I didn't have the comfort level to feel vulnerable until I started journaling and really talked about taking that mask off. Taking the mask off is one of the most freeing, like, I'm just going to take this mask off. I am exhausted from wearing it. My shoulders are so tight. I'm going to take it off. And if you don't accept me for me, that's on you. So I'm going to show up for myself and not show up for show.
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, I talk about hope all the time, and I know hope is such a cliche word, but, you know, for me, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
There's hope when I'm able to hear other people's experiences, right? Hearing experiences give me hope. When you are transparent and vulnerable and you allow your reluctancy to bubble up, you're giving people hope. To say, it's okay. You're freaking human.
Exactly.
Okay. We've got to do a better job in bringing humanity back to this human experience.
I love this. I love Quinn. I told you I'd love her. You'd like her.
I know.
She's my best friend. You know, Quinn, we're going to do some sister questions.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so I am big on Lord, please help me. So here you go. Well, I've got the Lord, please help me question. I love that you shared the question or the statement that the day that you were off and your husband said, I can't see. Like, I love that because there are days I'm off and I'm with mom and I'm like,
I see everything but the person I'm supposed to care for.
I know. I'm like, what is the problem? I'm standing to go in the store and my mom's like, well, could you get my rollator or my wheelchair? I can't walk.
Move your legs, lady. What's the problem? Oh, you've got Parkinson's.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Tell me, just give me, like, give our listeners two things, because we all have got the off days. Like, I have shut down. Give me one or two things that you would say to all the people that you help to help you through those off days, to maybe get you maybe to a semi-on place.
Yeah. So first, give yourself some grace.
Oh,
right? I immediately wanted to beat myself up in that moment, but I had to give myself grace. I apologized and was like, well, let me get your arm, right? Like, myself grace, but it was also an indicator to me to tell me I'm not good, right? And that self-care, another term that we probably use too much, I need to find a few minutes just for me,
yeah,
to center me. Because if I'm not good, no one in this house is going to be good. And it's that domino effect. So give yourself grace,
yeah,
but also know, what's that one thing you can go do? Can you go outside for 10 minutes alone for a walk, to breathe, to feel the sun? Hell, to jump in a puddle, right? The feel for you. Is it journaling? Is it singing as loud as you can? I'm every woman or man or whoever you are. What is it that for a moment allows you to just focus on you and do that?
Yeah.
And do it again and again. And then it becomes a part of a routine of your everyday. Even if it's 15 minutes, do it. I'm going to add one more. If someone says they're dropping off pizza, or if someone says they want to do something, just say yes.
Let them. I love it.
Leave it on your doorstep. Don't get offended if you don't want company. Leave it outside. I'll get it. Please charge that to my heart. Let them.
I love that. That's true.
Yeah.
It goes, I'm telling you, though, it's all about allowing people to demonstrate kindness. Sometimes you have to give permission because people want to do something and they just don't know. And so when you tell them as much as possible, but on the other side of that, I don't know that I have it some days to tell you what I need. And so I just need you to be observant.
Yep.
Like, know me. Don't do fakey know me. When you know me, then you know what I need, really. And I know that sounds very like, that's a lot of pressure. No, it's not. Not when you know, when you think about who you love and who your friends are, you know what they need. Just a little bit. Sometimes it's whether it's an ear, it's a Starbucks, it's a, like, let's go grab some pizza.
Yeah.
Or a nap or anything. Oh my God, a nap. Here, I'll sit with the kids so you can take a nap. That feels good.
Oh, I love
it. I love a nap. Okay, Quinn, speaking of naps, what is your favorite guilty pleasure? The one thing that you do just for yourself.
Only for you.
Art. So, I mean, I work in the death space. I have to do so.
Oh my God.
Right? So on the other side of this office is my art. I have a whole art setup. And I paint and I indulge in what's called diamond art.
Uh-huh.
And what it does for the brain, the brain, is phenomenal. And when I need for my brain to calm, I go to diamond art.
Ooh, I'm going to down that.
I got to find
out. You should do diamond art when you come up to DC. You should bring some. Yeah. We should do that.
Yeah.
We should have a little quality time. You know, guys, Quinn, we love you. And
I love y'all back.
This has been so good, Jay. This Heroes Caring for Heroes series is so phenomenal. We, again, want to thank CVS and our friends at Tenna. As well, we've got some other friends that are helping us out. Of course, the Fisher House Foundation. Absolutely. And some of the behavioral health care. We love all these folks who are helping us out. And we've got so many partners. PsychArmor, you mentioned, they're going to be on with the series, Jay.
They'll be on the
educational series. They're on the educational series, and you'll get to meet Tina, who is, you're going to love her. So you know what, guys, thank you so much for listening in. And there's going to be more because we've got a PBS special, and you're going to meet Jose on the special. So you'll hear more from Quinn, and you'll get to meet Jose. And I can't wait to see the photos of the six girls because they've got six daughters and they are wonderful. Yeah. Quinn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, ladies. Thank you so much.
You're wonderful.
You are amazing.
And until we confess again, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap for today's educational episode. Thank you for listening to our special series, Heroes Caring for Heroes, on UK Health Radio. And don't forget to visit our website to sign up for our monthly newsletter, sign up for the free Sisterhood Advantage Discount Club, and of course, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. You'll also find the video recording of all of our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next time when we confess again. Till then, take care of you.